Vocabulary Podcast. I'm Steve. He is
Reverend Dr. Lawrence Van Beek.
Oh, we deserve a full title for this one. That's excellent. Excellent, my friend. Good to see you. Good to be seen by you, hopefully. And folks, good to have you along with us. Lair, we're going to talk about Acts 25.
Which is the appeal to Caesar.
Yes.
And then Paul before Agrippa and Bernice.
It's which almost is... like you read that from somewhere.
This is actually quite good that he's before King Agrippa and Bernice. It's kind of a cool little feature. Okay. So
Nice. And it's kind of this again, like you said last time, this is Paul's slow but sure journey to Rome.
That's right. And this is where he actually appeals to Caesar, and that sets it that he's going to end up with Caesar.
Yep. Beautiful. Okay, folks. Well, as always, we're reading out of the ESV this time, and we're going to start at verse 1, chapter 25, and I'll read all the way down to verse 12. Now, after 3 days, Festus had arrived in the province. He went up to Jerusalem from Caesarea, and the chief priests and the principal men of the Jews laid out their case against Paul, and they urged him, asking us as a favor against Paul, that he summon him to Jerusalem. Oh, I wonder why. Because they were planning an ambush to kill him on the way. Festus replied that Paul was being kept at Caesarea, and that he himself intended to go there shortly. So, said he, let the men of authority among you go down with me. And if there's anything wrong about the man, let them bring charges against him. After he had stayed among them not more than 8 or 10 days, he went down to Caesarea. And then the next day he took his seat on the tribunal in order that Paul be brought. When he arrived, the Jews who had come down from Jerusalem stood around him, bringing many and serious charges against him that they could not prove, which is fun. Paul argued in his defense, neither against the law of the Jews, nor against the temple, nor against Caesar have I committed any offense. But Festus, wishing to do the Jews a favor, said to Paul, do you wish to go up to Jerusalem and be tried there on these charges before me? But Paul said, I am standing before Caesar's tribunal, where I ought to be tried. To the Jews I have done no wrong, as you yourself know very well. If I am a wrongdoer and have committed anything for which I deserve to die, I do not seek to escape death. But there is nothing to their charges against me, and no one can give me up to them. I appeal to Caesar. Then Festus, when he had conferred with his council, answered, to Caesar you have appealed, and to Caesar you shall go.
Yeah, so a big paragraph here to say something very simple. He ends up before Festus. Now remember, he was a few years with Felix before Festus took over. Now Fester comes in. Yeah. Festus comes in. And Festus, see, they're always dealing with the Jewish element, right? And it's the Jewish people that keep giving them trouble. And so Festus he's trying to appease them. He's just really trying to make his life easier. Right. While he's got to be in this place.
I'm sick of these people. What can I do to at least get them out of my house?
That's right. Like how can I appease these guys who are the bane of my existence here? Mm-hmm. You know, I've been sent here, and I'd really rather be somewhere else, but here I am and I'm going to make the best of it. So he says to Paul, he says, look, why don't you go down? Why don't I send you back to Jerusalem with these guys? Because he's thinking, then Paul's out of my hair, the Jews are out of my hair, and I can at least have some semblance of enjoyment in this job.
he's working through the myth of job fulfillment.
He certainly is. But you know, he's been at this long enough that he knows that there is no fulfillment at work.
You've been sent to Israel. Oh, really? Seriously? Yeah.
You know, it's the funniest thing, because as I'm reading this part and as we're talking, I just feel like everything that I've done today at work is...
it's a direct reflection.
it's all coming back to me. If I could only get those people out of my way, then it'd be okay. But of course, Paul... He knows, and Festus knows, that they're going to kill him if he goes back to Jerusalem with them. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no way he's making it back to Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. And so he appeals to Caesar. Now, I kind of thought that his appeal to Caesar came from his knowledge from Jesus, from the Holy Spirit, that he was going to end up in Rome. So I'm going to appeal to Caesar. But when you read it here, you think his appeal to Caesar is to protect him from this crowd that's going to take him out and kill him.
It's a practical request.
It sounds like a practical request. It's interesting that the little practical things in life are fulfilling God's greater plan.
Okay. Yep. I like that.
And he doesn't suggest that he has the greater plan in mind here. He just says, I appeal to Caesar. Look, I'm a Roman. I'm a Roman appealing to Caesar. And then Festus goes, oh. And you can tell by the way he says this after he talks to his council. To Caesar you have appealed, to Caesar you shall go. Right? Yeah. And he's resigned to this. Yeah. Like, all right, just go, would you? Great. I wish you had gone before I got here. At least you can go now.
Yeah. Why didn't Felix deal with this? Felix. Thanks for nothing, Felix. Thanks for nothing.
He is another useless administrator that I have had to deal with on this occasion.
Oh, so it is a direct reflection of you.
It is a direct. Well, I tried to get my T2202s done. So, And then, but now he's still there for a little while, and he gets to go before Agrippa and Bernice.
Okay, so cool. Picking it up. Picking it up at verse 13, folks. Now, some days had passed. Agrippa the king and Bernice arrived at Caesarea and greeted Festus. And as they stayed there many days, Festus laid Paul's case before the king, saying, "There is a man left prisoner by Felix." Well, what an awkward sentence. "And when I was at Jerusalem, the chief priests and elders of the Jews laid out their case against him, asking for a sentence of condemnation against him. I answered them that it was not the custom of the Romans to give up anyone before the accused met the accusers face to face and had an opportunity to make his defense concerning the charge laid against him. So when they came together here, I made no delay, but on the next day took my seat on the tribunal and ordered the man to be brought. When the accusers stood up, they brought no charge in his case of such evils as I supposed. Rather, they had certain points of dispute with him about their own religion and about a certain Jesus who was dead, but whom Paul asserted to be alive. Being at a loss how to investigate these questions, I asked whether he wanted to go to Jerusalem and be tried there regarding them. But when Paul appealed to be kept in custody for the decision of the emperor, I ordered him to be held until I could send him to Caesar. Then Agrippa said to Festus, I would like to hear the man myself. Tomorrow, said he, you will hear him.
Beautiful, eh? So Festus is now talking to... Now, this Agrippa, by the way, this is Herod Agrippa. So okay. Remember... When you're going through the book of Acts, you kind of have to get the Herod straight because you go through a number of Herods, right?
Okay.
You have Herod the Great and Herod Antipas and then Herod Agrippa. And there are a couple of other Herod's families members in this group as well. Now, Herod, of course, Herod the Great was the greatest. He was a genius, and Herod the Great was very bright. But, one of his family members that is here. So Festus gets before this guy and puts himself in the best possible light that he can. So it's all very political, isn't it?
Right.
Yeah. And he says, hey, they came and right away I did what I had to do, you know. Yeah. Felix was useless. I'd like to remind you. But I jumped right in, and this is kind of cool because he says here I thought it was going to be something meaningful, but it was just something about their religion. He says this something about a guy named Jesus,
right?
And you get the idea before this that the name of Jesus was everywhere and everybody knew it and everything was going on, but it wasn't. Christianity was a brand new thing.
Still in infancy, right?
Yep. Yeah. It was just taking foot. It was just taking hold. Remember, many places, Christianity was still considered a sect of the Jews, and that's even what he says. Something about this guy named Jesus. They say he's dead. Paul says he's alive. You know, like, who even cares about this stuff? But he appealed to Caesar.
Yeah. And I asked, I'm at a loss of what to even do. So
yeah.
I don't know. Go back to Jerusalem. He's like, nope, I'm out. I want to go to Caesar.
I want to go to Caesar. He says, so you're here, Herod, and you know, you guys are a little bit closer to Judaism. You have a clue what's going on. Why don't you? And then it's actually Agrippa himself says, hey, I'd like to hear what he has to say. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's no TV.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. All Bernice is doing is her needlepoint all the time. I mean, hello.
Yeah, and actually Bernice comes with them, so they, with great pomp, it's going to say, right?
Yeah. Okay, so picking it up at verse 23. So on the next day, Agrippa and Bernice came with great pomp.
I don't know who that is, but...
Yes. I believe they were a pretty popular hip-hop band at the time. Yeah. and they entered the audience hall with the military tribunes and the prominent men of the city. Then, at the command of Festus, Paul was brought in. And Festus said, King Agrippa and all who are present with us, you see this man about whom the whole Jewish people petitioned me, both in Jerusalem and here, shouting that he ought to not live any longer. But I found that he had done nothing deserving death, and that he and as he himself appealed to the emperor, I decided to go ahead and send him. But I have nothing definite to write my lord about him. Therefore, I have brought him before you all, and especially before you, King Agrippa, so that, after we have examined him, I may have something to write. For it seems to me unreasonable in sending a prisoner not to indicate the charges against him.
Yeah, I don't know what to say to Caesar. Yeah. Now, normally we don't do this, Steve, and this is the first time. We should probably... go to the next chapter and read the defense.
Yep, let's do it.
That's a crazy thing for us to do, I know.
No, it's not crazy. Do you want to read the first, or you want to go all the way through?
Oh, we may as well finish this chapter because it won't take us long.
Okay, so folks, now flip over to 26 because we're in for a little bit of a story. So Agrippa said to Paul, "You have permission to speak for yourself." Then Paul stretched out his hand and made his defense. I consider myself fortunate that it is before you, King Agrippa, that I'm going to make my defense today against all the accusations of the Jews, especially because you are familiar with all the customs and controversies of the Jews. Therefore, I beg you to listen to me patiently. My manner of life from my youth, spent from the beginning among my own nation and in Jerusalem, is known by all the Jews. They have known for a long time, if they are willing to testify, that according to the strictest part of our religion, I have lived as a Pharisee. And now I stand here on trial because of my hope in the promise made by God to our fathers, to which our 12 tribes can hope to attain, as they earnestly worship day and night. And for this hope I am accused by Jews, O King. Why is it thought incredible by any of you that God raises the dead? I myself was convinced that I ought to do many things in opposing the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And I did so in Jerusalem. I not only locked up many of the saints in prison after receiving authority from the chief priests, but when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. And I punished them often in all the synagogues and tried to make them blaspheme. And in a raging fury against them, I persecuted them even to foreign cities.
Okay, and then he goes on and tells of his conversion. So he tells Agrippa this. Remember, Agrippa, the Herods were Idumean, right? Mm. Which means they were descendants of Esau.
Edomites.
Yeah. Yes, and so they were relatives of the Jews. The Jews would have not liked them a lot of the times, but there was a very close relationship there. And they got what was going on. And Herod actually tried to rebuild the temple and appease the Jewish people in many ways, right? Mm. So there was that close connection. And Agrippa would have understood this stuff. And that's why Paul's telling him about the 12 tribes and all that stuff. And now he goes, and this is the third time that Luke's going to talk about Paul's conversion. And this is a very shortened one on his conversion. But here he goes.
Okay. In this connection, I journeyed to Damascus with the authority and commission of the chief priests. At midday, O King, I saw on the way, a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, that shone around me and those who journeyed with me. And when we had all fallen to the ground, I heard a voice say to me in the Hebrew language, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads. And I said, Who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. but rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to appoint you as a servant and a witness to the things in which you have seen me and to those in which I will appear to you, delivering you from your people and from the Gentiles whom I am sending to you, to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Therefore, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, but I declared first to those in Damascus, then in Jerusalem, and throughout all the region of Judea, and also to the Gentiles, that they should turn and repent to God, performing deeds in keeping with their repentance. For this reason, the Jews seized me in the temple and tried to kill me. To this day, I've had the help that comes from God, and so I stand here, testifying to both to great, to small and great, saying that nothing but what the prophets and Moses said would come to pass, that Christ must suffer, and that by being first to rise from the dead, he would proclaim light to both our people and to the Gentiles. And when he was saying these things in his defense, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, you're out of your mind. Your great learning is driving you out of your mind.
Wow. Sorry. Okay, so he does his whole sermon again, right?
Yep.
Third time in this book. Sounds very much like a defense of Paul, but also Luke just felt like this conversion of Paul was so critical, you know. And you got to love Festus, right? Festus has no idea what's going on. He doesn't understand a thing.
Yeah, that's right. You're nuts. I think you're nuts.
Yeah. Now, he recognizes that he's a very learned man.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And we've all known very learned men that were absolutely nuts.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Brilliant, but incomprehensible.
But incomprehensible. In my area in theology, I used to spend time with these guys. Usually, I was my job was to drive them around. And brilliant people, but no social skills whatsoever.
Right.
So,
okay.
That's why my social skills are limited, because I also am brilliant.
Well, yeah. I think you're one of, we've talked about this before, you're one of the rare that has both common sense and an advanced knowledge of field. You can reference our comment later about that, folks.
Yes. So anyway, verse 25. Sorry, Steve.
No, this is awesome. Pick it up at 25. But Paul said, I'm not out of my mind, most excellent Festus, but I'm speaking true and rational words. For the king knows about these things, and I, to him, speak boldly. Sorry, having a tough time today. For I am persuaded that none of these things has escaped his notice, for this has not been done in a corner. King Agrippa, do you believe in the prophets? I know you believe. And Agrippa said to Paul, in such a short time, would you persuade me to be a Christian? And Paul said, whether short or long, I would to God that not only you, but also all who hear me this day might become such as I, except for these chains. Paul, so fantastically bold. I love it.
Oh, isn't it beautiful? It's just beautiful. Yeah. And Agrippa gets it. Hey, Agrippa gets it. Hey, I know what you're trying to do here, Paul. You are trying to turn me to Christ. And Paul says, yeah, of course I am.
Then the king rose, and the governor and Bernice, and those who were sitting with them. And when they had withdrawn, they said to one another, this man is doing nothing to deserve death or imprisonment. And Agrippa said to Festus, this man could have been set free if he had not appealed to Caesar.
Beautiful, isn't it?
Yeah.
And that's where God's plan still works its way through. Paul has to end up in Rome. He has to speak before kings. He was told he was going to go to Rome. And now Agrippa said, yeah, if he hadn't done the appeal, I would have let him go. Now, whether he would have, who knows? But he for certain says that he's done nothing wrong.
Yeah.
And then when you looked at that N.T. Wright thing, could it have been a defense of Paul? It certainly could have been a defense of Paul, couldn't it?
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Everybody with their views on this book, like that it's something between Peter and Paul, that it's the motion of the gospel, that it's a defense of Paul. There's evidence of all of this in this book. So like they didn't just pull up ideas out of the air. I mean, there's stuff here that suggests it. But again, if it was a defensive Paul, it didn't work very well.
But I also like how Paul goes right back to that same point. Hey, I was a Pharisee, and this is actually just the fulfillment of my of that faith that I developed as a Pharisee.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, and it comes out again, right? You know, do you not believe that God can raise the dead? You know, and he knows that Agrippa believes this stuff.
Yeah.
I'm sure they didn't say more about Bernice. You know, she was there, yeah. But we would prefer, you know, in our culture that she had something more to say, but she didn't. She was just there. So
awesome.
Yeah.
Folks, that is Paul before Felix before Festus and King Agrippa and the whole story of it. And again, like Larry said, this is God just, you know, he tells him you're going to Rome. And Paul completely is doing things like he thinks are just rational things to do. And he's going to go to Rome. So God has worked it out. Folks, thanks so much for being with us. We sure enjoy having you along on the ride. We'll see you next time on the Apocalypse Podcast.